writer, Hebrews says, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto sons. I'm in verse 5, chapter 12. As unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what sons is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you illegitimate and not sons? Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and when we gave them reverence, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather be healed. For verily, for a few days, we are chastened. He chastens us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Just for a few moments, saints, we'd like to share this thought in mind. You'll thank me later. You'll thank me later. Sometimes we run across circumstances in life with, in relationships and dealings with people and out in the world. When we say in the world, we just mean our world, family, friends, job, people who have been asked or have offered to assist you or me or someone in terms of something they believe would be for your benefit. Now, we know there are times, however, that some things occur or something is done that we might not have solicited. That means we didn't ask for it. That means that we were not really willing to be a partaker of what it is that they sought to do. And I mean this in this sense, that times when things that have, however, been a benefit for us, we could not or did not see it at that time. Are you with me here? Now, again, you would trust that someone would do that for your good. Of course, there are times when, I don't know if you heard this expression before, you know, where someone's told you to do something or did something, and again, it was not necessarily something that you sought, and maybe they really didn't care, but then basically they would say to you, you'll thank me later. Right. It wasn't said with a lot of love and expectation of your consideration, but it sometimes was said sarcastically, as if, you know, basically, you know, I'm determining, or I'm choosing to, or I'm thinking of my own without your permission, that this is something I think is good for you. And that being the case, you'll thank me later. Have you ever been on the other side of that, or either side of that? Amen. But that happens at times, and sometimes it does turn out in such a manner. again, for different reasons, for whatever it might be at the moment. And sometimes it's because it occurred when you or I or someone was not in the frame of mind to see that. You understand what I'm saying? It's not, you couldn't see that this is something that could help me. And sometimes because of the state of mind that I'm in, I'm just not feeling that. You understand what I'm saying? Or I'm looking for a different solution or a different path to go down. And what you're saying does not commiserate. That means don't line up with what I'm looking for, like this microphone. But since I have another one, I'll thank them later. No. And so, consequently, saints, life is like that. Sometimes you went back to somebody later on, and you did thank them. You did thank them, and we prayed again. You had enough humility to say also that you were right. Ain't that right? There's a whole lot of parents that's waiting for a thank you card. See, you don't mind all the birthday cards, but they're waiting for a thank you card. They want amen, and whether it's something you bought, but really it's just something that you have in your heart, whereby that you know that they did it for your good. And listen to me, and it doesn't always mean that when it happened or the time it happened, or to the degree that did happen, and it was beneficial, that it came from a perfect person. Amen. Are y'all with me here? That it's just someone who knew better. Someone who knew better. And this is not just, we're not just, in, I'm going to move towards it. We're not just always talking about in a Christian setting. Amen. Because all of us grew up to one degree or another, we didn't always grow up out of a Christian home. Amen. And this is reality. And yet that does not mean that you could not benefit from something that was said to you. Amen. The ideal would be such that, but that doesn't mean that your parents don't know what they're talking about all the time. And there are times, again, that what is said, they really have your good at heart. Now watch this here. There could be a measure of at times where what they want from you is them seeing what they wish they had for themselves, and they seek to try to live it through you. Amen. You understand what I mean? In other words, they may live in the sphere of that they wish that it would have turned out that way for them, but for my choices, their choices, or with someone else's problem, that it didn't turn out. But then they was looking for that it would be a better thing for you, even though, and not only that it didn't happen, but I'm living, or they were living with their flaws. Are you? And they're living with their flaws, but that does not exempt them from being able to tell you or say to you what you should do that's right for you. Talk about mom and dad. That's right. And so consequently, again, when we consider again, and so you have to be, certainly you have to be discerning. When you're younger, you know, we don't know as much. And when you grow up, you know too much. Amen. But nonetheless, that's part of life, y'all. Right. All of us in here. Right. Remember now, amen, ain't none of us John the Baptist. Ain't that right? So what we're saying here is this, and he wasn't even saved in the womb. He was just born in the womb. We're going to get into theology here. The point is that we were all born in sin. Amen. And we grew up, and all right, we had to be molded. I don't believe in Dr. Spock kind of thing here. And we weren't born with a blank slate. As far as our mind, that's some kind of philosophy when it comes to some pediatric kind of knowledge. But my point being this is that we were all formed, or attention had to be given to us. And as we go up, you know, the child can't teach themselves. And so consequently, there should be some, you know, some maternal and paternal intervention into the life to cause some measure of, you know, some measure of virtue to develop. And if some things are left off, they can be basically later on, it can be a problem. Are y'all following me here? Now, that being said, saints, I want all of us to know who know the Lord, who are saved, who God is our Father. And let me be clear and distinct right here. I don't mean in terms of a universality of this thing, that God is the he is the God of all flesh, but he's not the father of every man or woman. In order for God to be your father truly, you must be born again. You had to be brought into the family of God. Are y'all following me here? And so consequently, this writer of Hebrews, he uses this example in Hebrews chapter 12. And when we were, you know, together last week and talking about this issue of better things, and remember that it's just not something that's handed to you on a silver platter. Amen. You weren't, excuse the expression, even though we're born again, we weren't given a silver spoon. Y'all know what I mean by that. Some folks had a lot of stuff handed to them. And some folks believe that was good for them. But sometimes in life, the fact that everything was given to you, handed to you, you had to work for nothing, did not benefit you when you got older. And so the writer of Hebrews, he uses this from the book of Proverbs. He uses these verses he get from there. And what I'm saying to you is this, that these believers here, they were going through and they were suffering. They were suffering persecution. They were being provoked because of their faith. And not only that, some of them had begun to be slothful in their Christian commitment. There were others who began to rethink their faith about what they had believed about Christ. Are you with me now? And I sought to, by the scripture, to explain and be clear about the fact that if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you put your faith in him truly from your heart, you will always be his. We also mentioned the fact, too, that there is an expression that's used in our contemporary culture. We're not the only ones who use this issue about unconditional love. Amen. And that's sometimes used by different people, different groups of people in our society, in our culture, to advocate for certain types of people groups. So consequently, you have to accept everybody. Now, I'm here to tell you, you ought to love everybody, but not accept everything. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. But nonetheless, brothers and sisters, this issue for us, I mean, understand, as Christians, those who put their faith in Christ. And even again, as we said earlier, that sometimes love hurts. Now, I don't mean an abused love. Amen. I don't mean that. I don't mean what someone might say, and they have a misconception about that is. That's their own definition. No, I don't mean that. I mean something that exhibits the character and amen and some of the traits. Now, if you don't know Christ, that means God's love is not in you. But that doesn't mean for whatever way that you are maternally and paternally, you love your children. You love your husband, your wife. But if you don't have Christ in you, then there's a measure, a point where you cannot reach with that love because you don't have supernatural love. But that does not mean, however, you don't still exhibit and show and demonstrate some measure of human love. It's just that it has been affected by sin. It's still real. Are y'all following me here? Why am I going on? Because God, he chastises his children. Amen. The writer is talking to these believers to encourage them in their faith. He wants them to understand. Now, listen to me. Because when these things happen in life to the believer, sometimes we get blinders on. That means what happens is, we can do this. We can begin to become so oriented to what someone is doing, has done to me. And in some instances, that is the case. But what happens is here, what we're talking about with God is this, is that God is the one that we just sang the song just a few moments ago. Our life is in his hands. Are y'all with me here? Our life is in his hands. And I don't always understand everything that goes on in my life as a child of God, but I do know this, that I never live outside the boundaries of God's knowing about what's going on with me. I can't explain everything, but check this out. I know God is still there. And why? And I don't blame God. I just wonder sometimes. So the writer of Hebrews, he wants them to understand because, listen, some of the things that occur, and check, and I want you to understand that there are times of believers, we will suffer for righteousness' sake. Yeah. Not what? We will suffer for righteousness' sake, and we will also suffer for unrighteousness. And there has to be a discernment about what's going on here. Because when he's talking here, and let me say this too. Listen, when we're saved, and when we serve God, and when we live for the Lord, the fruit of both of those spheres of life come from the same fountain. In other words, you can't be two people. You can't be this person when you do service for God and then this person when you're living for God outside of the service of God. No, that dichotomy don't work. It's only one. It comes out of one fountain. Whoever you really are, that's who you are in both ways, even though you try to cover it up. So you can't just work on what you see, have other people see of you. You got to work on both aspects because you're only one person. And God is ultimately concerned about that. The truth of that is, that's why sometimes he has to work on us. Because God wants to make sure that what you do and who you are has integrity to him and to those around you. Yeah.